better never rest.
Welcome in. It's Sunday night. It is the Georgia Show. I am Jake Roos. He is Rusty Mansell. We're with Dogs HQ. Rusty, let's not even mince words, buddy. Let's just dive right in. I got the welcome banner up, but I got the next banner ready, and I think it's a little more apt. An ugly win in Jacksonville for the Georgia Bulldogs, man. People wringing their hands, people wondering what's going on. We'll get into Carson Beck later. I do want to touch on that in a big way. But looking back on this one now, you've had a chance to sleep on it. You've had a chance to think over this one, Rusty. I'm curious what your thoughts are, because mine are this. Georgia is 7-1, and it's figuring out a way to win games despite some really, really ugly play. And that's tough. That's a really tough thing to do.
They just find ways to win, man. And I think what there's such a standard of Georgia just playing clean and just mowing down teams, you know what I mean? And that's just not been the case this year. I don't think you get frustrated watching that, and I understand it. You know, you kind of think, like, what is going on with this team? But I went back and watched the game today. Just went back and watched it. Thank God I get to fast forward through commercials. But went back and watched the game today, and, you know, they just – you never felt like they were going to lose that game. And I think the DJ Lagway injury, which is – a kid's special, man. A kid. Yeah. I mean, listen, I've met this kid. Like, I met this guy in person. I could not believe how big he was in person.
I think I think we might be having a different show today if DJ Lagway played that whole game.
I mean, you never know. You never know there. But DJ Lagway, certainly great player. You hate to see that for anybody.
Yep.
And, you know, Georgia had to play without DJ Shockley one game. You know what I mean? And they've been through all those. They've been through those types of things. So you never, ever apologize for – ugly win. You never ever apologize for beating Florida and Jacksonville. You move, right. Take your win and move on. This team has bigger goals. I think the fan base understands that. I think Kirby Smart knows that. I think this team knows that. But the one thing about this team, Jake, man, they just find ways to win games, man. And that those things, little things like that, make you go, it's a pretty damn special group, man, because they're not anywhere near what they can be. Now, they've got to get it in a hurry. They've got to find some things. They found it against Texas. You know, yep. Carson Beck did turn the ball over in that game a couple times, but there were some big league throws he made in that game too. I go back to yesterday when they needed him, when there was no other option. Like, that, it was he's going to get it done or they're going to lose this game, that point in the game. It was so late at that point in the game. Carson Beck got it done, man. I mean, he made some big throws, and I can't imagine what was going through his head at that time, because he very easily could have thrown a fourth interception at one point in the game, and the look on his face and look in his eye. But I credit Carson Beck, man, and you cannot just rip him for interceptions. You have got to say when there was no other options, man, when you were out of mulligans, he delivered. He delivered a game-winning drive to take that thing to 27-20 with 3 minutes to go. You know, he shows you that, Roos. You know, I think that's what frustrates people. He shows you that, and you go, where is that? Like, can we have four quarters of that? Because everybody watched this kid last year. Everybody read this stuff, the offseason, like, this guy might be the number one pick. This guy's going to be a first-rounder. We've all seen him do things like that. In Florida, I think the Florida game last year, Jake, might have been his best game he ever played. And I thought, man, this guy's going back to Jacksonville. He is about to shred these dudes. And he did not.
he got shredded, I think. Jake Rose said it so well tonight. We were doing the radio show, and he said, I said, you know, they're finding ways to win in spite of Carson Beck. And he said, yeah, but what's interesting is they're finding ways to win because of Carson Beck, too. He's giving you, like, both things, man. Like,
it
he's
is like, unbelievable. That's right.
He's put you into tough spots, but he's also doing, like, really clutch things he has to do in order for you to get over the hump. It's like I understand why it's maddening for people to watch. It's crazy.
I know this, and I've had people in that building, and Kirby Smart talked about it in his press conference. He's not blowing smoke when he says this guy gets him in the right play every single play. He makes a lot of the calls for the protections on that touchdown to Dominic Lovett to go up 27-20, watch him check that play. Right. He checks out of what they've got. He checks into that play because of how the defense has scored a touchdown. You have to know if you're Kirby Smart and Mike Bobo, this guy is off the charts football IQ. He's off the charts smart. I've heard him say it at clinics, the smartest quarterback they ever had. So what is going on during the process of the game for him to make plays like he does at times, done lately? So I think that's a great way to say it by Roe. Leave it to our South Georgia man to sum it up. You know, it's there. You just got to find a way to put one together. And I think the first half is so important to him because I think 7 of those 11 interceptions have been in the first half. You got to survive one and see what kind of complete game he can play.
I agree. I do. I want to get into Carson Beck in a big way. I want to give him his whole a whole segment, to be honest with you. I want to talk about what's happening outside of Carson Beck because he's obviously the focal point. But Rusty, we're seeing Georgia, like I said, find ways to win, and it's having to do that in. You want to talk about creative ways? I mean, you lose Trevor Etienne, who's been driving this boat while Carson Beck has been throwing it to the other team. You lose that guy, and suddenly you're thinking, oh, my God, where do they go from here? Suddenly Nate Frazier's more involved. Oh, my God, we've got Dwight Phillips sighting for the first time all year. The most effective snap getter on the roster, one for one. I mean, just a really tremendous effort there. I don't know what to make of it, Rusty. You're seeing guys like Ben Jurasek step up, but then you're also seeing bad things, right? Xavier Truss is still getting a stupid penalty, which doesn't make
sense. He's got to calm down, man.
I don't.
I mean, I love a big, nasty, big 6'8 Rhode Island man.
Yeah.
But, dude, he's got to calm down. Like, he got lucky he didn't get called for piling on there in that first series on a third down conversion. So,
He's 28 years old, so he's got time to settle down and take care of the family and kids here. I mean, you know,
control, sure.
Yeah, but, you know, defensively, you know, I was doing the snap count today. I felt like it was a quiet game in terms of snaps for Jalen Walker, and I expected that to be a bigger size for him. But then you see Chris Cole get more involved. Yes.
Well, the different offense they had, because you don't know what the stats would have been with Lagway, because they would have been more drop back passing with him.
Right.
He hurt them a little bit early in the run game. Two, also with Lagway, you lose two guys that are so crucial to your scheme with Dan Jackson and Jonel Guerrero. You know, Georgia was trying to play safe. They got caught with eyes in the backfield, gave up a touchdown there. So you really don't know what type of stats. I think Jalen Walker, once you're able to turn those guys loose, right, because once he went out, I think Georgia obviously played a totally different defense. You know, they were daring this guy to throw, and Florida did not want him to throw at all. So they were in the run game. So I kind of cut down on those stats a little bit. But you start thinking about guys on the edge and Chris Cole. Chris Cole is starting to really get into some minutes. You know what's crazy is – I think Smile Munden is one of the best blitzing linebackers they have. They pressure so much with Smile Munden.
Right.
And, you know when he's going to come back? We don't. At some point he will, but nobody's really talking about Smile Munden. You know what I mean? Like, this is an all SEC player. And everybody's like, yeah, man, hey, what's Carson Beck going to do this week? You know, like, it's not, you know, there's another guy that can help them, but Chris Cole is, I wish people could see him in person, how long this kid is. I'm not want to put it on him as a first rounder to put that type of pressure on him. But when you see Quay Walker, this guy looks like Quay Walker.
Yeah, I mean, from a physical standpoint, he has first round.
I'm not going to answer that, by the way.
I wouldn't either. The guy has first round tools, right? I mean, he has everything you're looking for from a frame perspective,
Lane,
et cetera.
Man, sure.
You know, you get at this point, I mean, like, no. Nobody's even wringing their hands about the fact that, oh, sure, we're marching KJ Bolden out there to take care of the back end because the guy's a veteran now. I mean, he's played long enough. He's got enough snaps under his belt. It's just been so intriguing, Rusty. This is one of the most confounding teams. And quite frankly, I understand why people are frustrated with this Georgia team. It is, they do not make it easy to watch. I promise you that. But it's 7-1. And look, I said this on the board today and I was half joking, but to some degree it was true. You want to know what real pain is? You go look at what's happening at FSU right now.
Auburn.
Oh my God, Auburn. Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about total free fall. Everybody just collapsing. DJU, yeah, he's having problems. Everybody around him's having problems. Mm-hmm. Carson Beck's having problems, and everybody around him is collectively working together to forward this thing and make it work. That's what's striking to me about this whole thing. I think it's Famous Jay here says favored by 14.5 in a rivalry game won by 14. Sky's falling. I just can't get with that narrative. I understand people's frustrations. Will it come back to bite you at some point? It very well may. But you beat Texas by two touchdowns with three interceptions as well. I mean, there's a weird something going on around this team. I don't know what it is. I wish I could. I wish I could explain.
I just go back to, like, dude, this team knows how to win, man. Like, Georgia's that team right now that you're like, man, we almost beat them. You know what I mean? We played them good for three quarters, but guess what? You took an L. You know what I mean? And that says a lot about where Georgia is. And Kirby can go in that press conference. He can say everything he wants. And even Carson Beck. I noticed it last night with him. And listen to this. Credit to Carson Beck, because you don't have to go sit in that media room. When they come to you, that's kind of your decision. Hey, we want you to go. This ain't the NFL where you get fined. Sure. Carson Beck went in there and sat down and took questions yesterday. And he knew what was about to come his way. He answered it in the way he thought. I have spent more time with Carson Beck this year doing the interviews for Fox 5, doing some of those interviews kind of behind the scenes for those guys. And I'll be honest with you, man, he really is a low-key guy, and he has this team. Dude, I sit right there and watched him and Jalen Walker, and, man, those two together, I mean, they're their boys. Like, they were – I mean, I've been around enough locker rooms to know who the dudes are. And Jalen Walker is the clear leader. And Jalen Walker, that's his guy. They're all in on this guy. You know, they've seen him do it. So, you know, everybody in the country wants Carson Beck. If you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, you want him to turn this thing around. I think you got to kind of back off a little bit about we got to yank this guy and go in another direction. I said it yesterday. I said it last night. I thought Georgia was going to pull him for a series or two.
I did too.
Not to try to replace him.
Right.
To try to gather him. People are like, we should have pulled him and benched him. You know, and that's not everybody. There's always that craziness part. Not everybody's saying that. I thought they should have pulled him to let him see the field from the side, kind of, you know, recalibrate, just like Steve Sarkisian did with Quinn Ewers against Georgia. And then he played Ewers the second half. So I kind of thought that was, but I want to make clear, like, they're all in with Carson Beck, and that is their guy. That is who gives them the best chance. And to make this clear, if I have to make this clear, Kirby Smart ain't in the business to try to help Carson Beck feel better. He's in the business to try to make Carson Beck win football games and what gives Georgia the best chance to win a football game. They get paid millions of dollars to make big boy decisions like that. And it's pretty clear that they think Carson Beck gives them the best chance. Now, on the flip side of that, it eventually will get you if they could play like this. If this continues, they eventually it'll end up getting them. So they got to figure it out.
Yeah, no question about it. Look, we're going to get into a lot more Carson Beck because I think that is what's on everybody's brain. It's hard to go. It's really hard to talk about much else, but if you want to see Carson Beck perform this week, you need to get over to Game Time and get over there to get your tickets. If you're headed to Ole Miss, look, I'm talking to Zach Berry tonight, our guy over at OM Spirit. He said that they are expecting this probably to be the record crowd in Ole Miss history. They've set a couple of attendance records this year. He said, we're expecting this to be the biggest one. If you're looking to get over there, go get your tickets with GameTime.co, man. They do a fantastic job over there of hooking you up with the best price. They've got you covered on all the seats. And best of all, man, you can see where you're sitting. So you can see down here. I mean, look at this. This is Some of these are crazy. You can buy this $1,400 ticket, or you can buy this one right behind it for $511. 392 here in the corner. That's a great seat right there. So a lot of ways to get in here. And look, if you've never been to the Grove, you need to do it once in your life. It is something to see. I promise you that. So if you're looking at going to, if you're looking at going to see the Bulldogs this weekend versus the Rebels, go to GameTime.co. You can do it there. You can also go around if you're looking for concert tickets. If you're looking for any, you know, the Hawks are getting ready to start playing. Falcons are on a really nice run here in this season. You don't get to say that often. Go enjoy the Falcons, man.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, it's a good time to go utilize our friends over at GameTime.co. They've got the best price guarantee. You can see it all. It's all in pricing. You get your tickets transferred to you fast. It's everything you want. Plus, you can get a discount using our code ON3, and that's ON3. And I want to make sure I'm giving you the right discount price on that, which you're going to get off. It's going to be, I had it pulled up here, $20 off your first purchase. Terms and conditions do apply, but you use code ON3, that's ON3, and you can get $20 off your first purchase. This would be a great weekend to use it, but every weekend is. So get over there. What time is it? Game time. Get in the game. Rusty. Like I said, the curious case of Carson Beck. Can you give me your opinion as to what is going on with Carson Beck? What is he seeing something that's not there? Is he my personal take on this is that it's like, and I used this analogy earlier with Roe. It's like when you see that guy who goes to the blackjack table and he loses one hand, so he doubles the bet the next time. And then he loses that hand, and so he triples the, you know, he's like trying to, it's, you make one mistake, so you're trying to go out and fix it in a bigger way the next time, and sometimes that comes back to burn you. That's my take on what's happening right now. And if there is such a thing, because you don't see it a lot in the quarterback world, it does feel like the yips.
Yep. He's pressing too, man. He's pressing. There's no, you know, he's trying to make plays. He is, you know, trying to get back a lot at once, you know, it's one of those things it's a head scratcher, man. It really is a head scratcher. Like I haven't seen a quarterback get in a funk like this, and I say this because you've seen so much positive out of him. Like this guy was ripping up teams. Like he's got a big league arm. You know, you're in the second year. It's the second year with Mike Bobo. Like, this is the same offense. It's just, you know, you can't sugarcoat it. I mean, he lost Ra-Ra Thomas. He lost Kobe Young. He doesn't have Brock Bowers. He doesn't have Ladd McConkey. He doesn't have Marcus Roseman, Jack Saint. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different pieces that he's not playing with. I just really think he's pressing, man. I know what he's saying in these press conferences, but man, you can see it in his eyes. He is frustrated. He's frustrated with himself, and you get into these things, and man, it's going to take a clean game to get him out of it. I think, you know, get some confidence there, and You see Kirby Smart talk to him coming off the field yesterday. That tells you, and you don't think Kirby Smart will know the Pulse of people. That's one thing I don't think people realize. Like, there's certain guys you can coach, and there's certain guys you got to make sure that their headspace is right. And that's just, you have to be able to do that with different individuals. You know what I mean? I mean, you could tell Nick Chubb to run through a brick wall, and he's not going to say a word. It's going to happen. Some kids, you got to talk to them a little bit differently. And that's what separates. That's what makes a great coach, because you got 85 personalities in there that every one of them think they're five stars. So, you know, you see Kirby talk to him when he comes off. He's not, you know, he is eye to eye with this guy in a very clear spot with him. Now, later in the game, he got a little animated. But guess what? They came out and scored on that drive. You know, it had Lawson Lucky and those guys. And I just knowing some of the people in this part of it, I really think that they're making sure that his head's right as much as possible and keeping him on the path the best they can. They got to get him out of it somehow. Because, this guy watches more film than any Georgia quarterback that's ever walked in that building under Kirby Smart. There's no question. And that's what's the head scratcher. Like, this guy's a football junkie, man. Like, high IQ, he's just not seeing it. And my experience with that is, you know, he is pressing hard. You know what I mean? He's pressing hard, and it's causing him to really force some things. There were two interceptions yesterday that I don't even know what he saw.
Like, the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, he would have to throw. It would have to literally went through three twice. He'd have to went through two guys just to get to his guy.
Right.
You know, yeah. So that's when you go like, so you look at DeJuan Mathis, and let's go back to that game. And DeJuan Mathis won the job for Todd Monken. Todd Monken named him the starter. Todd Monken said, this is our guy. They go through fall camp, and Dwight, he's the guy. They go to Arkansas, and they're down at halftime, and they look lifeless. I mean, they look lifeless. They can't get a first down. Well, they pull him, and they bring in Stetson Bennett, and that's kind of the start of that situation. What's the difference in that? They didn't know what DeJuan Mathis was going to do when the lights clicked on, and it didn't work. Like, it took them a half to realize, hey, this ain't going to work. Well, they've got about 25 games of it working with Carson Beck. They got the last five. Well, it's not working. So, I mean, like, they got to figure it out and get back to where what they did with him or where he was with that, because they know the ceiling is the highest with Carson Beck right now. So they got to figure it out, man. I just feel like he's pressing, and I don't know. Listen, you can help him. They got to be able to run the freaking football too, man. They can't run the ball right now, which is another head scratcher. That's something that's really surprising me. And I think Tate Ratledge did all he could to get back in the game. He played a little bit. I mean, he's such a great run blocker. You know, if they can get him back full time this week, that's going to help some too.
Yeah, no, the running game, I think, is part of this, right? Their inability to get that going,
yeah,
razor thin there. I mean, it's I said a couple weeks back, and I saw it again yesterday, and I just cannot believe how much it feels like to me that they are missing Roderick Robinson. I feel like he is a guy who they can really use in some of these situations. Short yardages, just punch it in. They don't have a hammer right now, and that's tough for those 3 and 4 yard situations. With Carson, I think that what you're running into here, and I think what's frustrating people so much, is how it looks. But if you subtract, and I'm not saying you can, if you can take away the interceptions that he's literally throwing into people's chests, which is horrible. That's bad. But if you can remove that, the guy's throwing for yardage, man. I mean, he's putting the ball in the air. He's making some really big, glaring mistakes, and that's what's really hard to accept. But there are moments where you're like, okay, this is why. This is what gets it, man. And I don't know, man. It's one of the damnedest things I think I've ever had to watch in a long time. Because, you know, somebody said, you know, he's not coming. I saw this on the board today. Somebody said he's not coming back from this. And I said, I can't get with that narrative because we've seen him play well. The guy's not a career bum. I mean, it's not like he has that in him. He has both things, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, he's working in one duality right now, which is very negative, but he does the good things. And if he is able to find that again, and this has kind of been my contention and my thought all day, if he's able to find that thing again, this is a really, really dangerous team. This is a team no one wants to face with Carson Beck throwing 3 interceptions. If you can get Carson Beck down to 1 interception, then this is a team nobody on earth wants anything to do with. And that sounds crazy to say, but I do think that's true.
Yeah, I haven't hid the fact that I think Georgia going to national championship. I still think Georgia going to national championship. Georgia cannot make. They can also not make the playoff. You know what I mean? Like, they had two huge games coming up. They've had huge games this year. You know, that Clemson loss didn't help them any last night. So that's another thing that's kind of working against them a little bit to add a little bit of interest in this thing. But yeah, Georgia certainly can win the national championship. And it would be interesting to see them put together a clean, you know, a clean game. Like, I mean, both sides of the ball. Don't have to be perfect. I mean, a good, clean game from Carson Beck and from some guys around him. And see what they could actually do. See where they can go. Because I'm telling you, they beat the piss out of Texas. And yeah, he still thinks he picks that game. So we'll see. We'll see. It's week by week now. I think Jeremy Johnson had a post yesterday. And I agree 1,000,000% with this. He said, I think, just kind of summarizing, there's no apex predator in college football this year.
Yes,
what I mean, agree. What I mean, what I mean. What I mean, there's no LSU 19, there's no Alabama 2020, and there's no Georgia 2022. There's about six or seven teams, in my opinion, that can win this thing, and Georgia is one of those.
Yeah,
and that's good news for Georgia, because if you were going to face one of these super alpha teams like that, if he was going to play Georgia 2022 with them dudes,
yeah,
three picks, you'd get ran out of the building. LSU and Alabama, those teams you had to score 40 on to win it, to beat them, three picks, you waste three possessions, you get ran out of the build. That's not the case this year. You do not want to live and die throwing three picks. But if there's one thing in this year, I'm confident in, there's no complete team. Everybody's got some holes. And I'd be damned if we're not starting a playoff this year that's going to be wide open. I think six or seven teams can win this thing. And I would not. If I'm Georgia, I'd play anybody. You want some of these things in your favor. You want to get healthy. But I don't see a team that I walk in and go, there's no way Georgia can beat that team. I think Georgia's got a chance to beat everybody.
I agree. And I've seen a lot of comments over here, and I do want to address this because I do think it's something that's important, and I think it's a narrative that is misplaced. People are saying Carson Beck, oh, you know, he's out here. He's too concerned with his image. He's doing the social media, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, yeah, he got the famous girlfriend for sure, right? Yes, he got the Lamborghini. Carson Beck's not out here tweeting on the daily, man. He's not out here making you know, the TikTok videos doing fun.
I asked him.
Crazes.
I asked him. He doesn't have social media. You know who runs his social media? He has somebody that runs it for him, yeah, that puts out his stuff for whatever
product. Things by the contracts of the NIL.
Guess what? Guess who else does that? Tate Ratledge does that. Oscar Delp does that. Nate Frazier does that. Brock Bowers did that. So does he have a famous girlfriend? Yes, he does. And that young lady makes a lot of money doing what she does with her Instagram stuff. He was on her social media one day last week.
I imagine there are a lot of people who are commenting these things who would like to be on her social media as
well. Listen, this guy's 22 years old. I mean, he's a young man, and he's got a look. But like, this guy, the social media part, like, I don't get that part. Because he doesn't have it. I asked him. I said, when did you get rid of that? And he goes, man, I quit reading that stuff in high school. Because if you remember his junior year, they won the state championship, mm-hmm, and that's when Carson Beck blew up because they beat some really good teams in Florida. Well, he gets all this attention, and then they lose everybody off that team. Right. He had like three starters come back, and then they get beat like the first round of the playoffs or something. And, you know, he said he learned right then playing quarterback, this social media is not the place for me. You know, good or bad, you just need to get off of it. So, you know, that I can answer that question because I flat out asked him face-to-face a couple weeks ago, and he said, man, I got somebody that signs in for mine. And I asked CJ Allen too. I mean, he does a little bit of Instagram, but they have requirements for their and products they endorse. So that's not a problem. I don't, you know, he's got a famous girlfriend. I mean, you know, and it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what
she plays basketball. She's not going to be around here.
I don't know what people expect for somebody in his position.
I think the Lamborghini part is where, and I don't know if he bought it. I don't know if he leased it. It's really none of my business. But I think that's where people are like, his attention is not there. That's what the head scratcher is, man. It's there. It's not happening for him, and it's not happening for him in a really bad way right now. And there's been four or five games. You know, I just don't really know what you can do other than take it by half. Like, hey, let's go have a clean first half Saturday against Ole Miss, and let's see where he is and see where things go, because you just can't get over it, Jake. I cannot get over the basically the highs and lows. Like, this guy is in one game too. You know what I mean? Like, he'll give it to you in a game. Like, you're like, well, that's Carson Beck. You know, that guy's, he's dropping it, man. He's dropping it. And then next thing you know, he'll throw a pick and you're like, what in the
heck? That's also Carson Beck. That's Carson
Beck. So, you know, but I think I can answer clearly that's their guy, that this is this team. He owns that locker room, that those guys are, that's their quarterback. He's been there. He's played. Hey, this guy's played at Tennessee. This guy's played at Alabama. This guy's played at Auburn. This guy's about to play at Ole Miss. You know, I mean,
he's certainly won a lot more games than he's lost. By some measure. Speaking of winning, let's talk about our boys over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy Ludeke and the team over there. Are you a displaced corporate executive or wanting to put your career in your own hands? Or are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? Well, Andy Ludeke and MyPerfectFranchise.net can help. Andy's a huge college sports fan and franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. Using his expertise, he helps others find their American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. So call Andy. Put your life and career in your own hands. Best of all, his services are 100% free to you. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise today at MyPerfectFranchise.net. That is MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy Ludeke and the boys over there. Rusty, gearing up for the Grove, man. Big weekend. God, they all are, aren't they? I mean, you just don't know. Listen, this one has some legitimate concerns, in my opinion, when you're thinking about Georgia and the vulnerabilities that it has. And it's really not about Carson Beck, although they are pretty damn good at getting after the passer. It's really about what Ole Miss does offensively that Georgia has struggled with defensively, and that's putting the ball in the air against some of these cornerbacks. They have a plethora of options when it comes to throwing this ball up, man. And I think that this one may hinge a little bit more on what the defense does than what Carson Beck does, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this. I was on the field. I was in field level last year. I was in field level. I was not on the sideline. I was in a field level place to watch that game last year. And I'm telling you right now, Georgia defensive line flat out whipped their ass. Can I say that? They did. That's what they did. And Kamari Lassiter shut down Trey Harris. Right. Like, he clamped him down like he did Luther Burden. They don't have Kamari Lassiter anymore. And he's why he's playing NFL and doing really good. So with Georgia, they're going to take chunk shots. I mean, they're going to take – you may never see a team – will Georgia play this year that will take this many shots down the field. They're gonna throw it. Now, I do think that – if you get Jackson Dart off his spot a little bit, that's where he's kind of been, you know, been an issue a little bit there. Now, I will say this too. Now, Ole Miss was kind of banged up, and then they lose a tackle right the first of that game, and they brought another guy in, and, man, he was toast. And Jackson Dart had no time most of the night. They were all over him. So that's going to be a little bit different. Crowd was there. And Lane Kiffin openly said, when he left Georgia that night, he basically went to the collective and said, if we don't get bigger players, we're never beating a team like that. If we don't get bigger on the offense and defensive line, we're never beating a team like that. If y'all want to go 7-4, 8-3, whatever you're trying to go, but y'all want to go bigger, we're not doing it until we get bigger bodies. And they went out and got the defensive end from Florida. They went out and got Walter Nolan, who is a former number one player in the country.
Yeah,
I mean, they went out and got dudes now for this type of game in particular. So it's going to be a little different roster Georgia's going to face.
And backs against the wall. I mean, this one, Ole Miss, a lot's hanging in the balance for these Ole Miss
relatives. Yeah, this if Georgia beats Ole Miss, boy, that's going to be a bad deal for Ole Miss. Like,
yeah,
they got a lot of portal kids that you know, you kind of rent, for better term. You know what I mean? You get them for a year to see what you can do. And another loss for what Ole Miss would be. So you're going to get Ole Miss and what they feel like, I guarantee you, is a sudden death situation. You're also going to hear a lot of narrative this week about Georgia not being very good. The Georgia are not playing well and walking into hostile territory. Georgia's handled that kind of well, long as it didn't Tuscaloosa. Oh, by the way, I think I saw today, Georgia's played, Kirby Smart's played Alabama 7 times since he's been the head coach of Georgia, not one time in Sanford Stadium, which is crazy.
That is wild to think about. You're
that right. That is wild. Seven times. They haven't even played them. So also look today. I don't want to get real positive on you, but well, look at November the 7th, 2020, Florida beats Georgia. I think that's the last time Kyle Pitts scored a touchdown because I'm upset with him on my fantasy team. Anyway, they beat Georgia 44-28, November 7th, 2020. Georgia has been 53-0 since that night. This team's not named Alabama. They're 53-3 since November the 7th, 2020. It's absolutely insane what is going on with this.
Sure.
And it's another big test this weekend, but their corners going to get tested this week. I mean, they're going to have to turn around. I mean, they're going to get put one-on-one. I have zero, and I mean absolute zero knowledge of this. Zero knowledge of this. And I can promise on whatever I need to promise on. This might be the game that you see Ellis Robinson play. And let me give you my theory on that. Last year when Georgia played Missouri in Athens and they had those three wide receivers, they were giving everybody fits. And they had a quarterback that was mobile. They basically brought in Julian Humphrey, who hadn't played at all, and said, we're going to play 3-on-3 with these wide receivers. We're going to play basketball. This is your guy. Kamari's got Luther Burden wherever he goes. And then we got our two guys, our two other corners on Dalen Everett and Julian Humphrey on these guys. This might be where you see Daniel Harris, Dalen Everett, Ellis Robinson, and who am I missing there? Those four guys.
Yeah.
You might see those four guys against these four wide receivers.
Sure.
Because this is a little different. This is a little different. It's a little different skill set they're bringing. They don't have just one or two. They got three wide receivers. And this might be where Georgia goes, you know what? We're going to turn Jalen Walker loose, and we're going to play some one-on-one pickup ball. Our athletes versus your athletes, one-on-one. See what happens. Yep. And they did that against Missouri. They gave up a touchdown in that first drive. And after that first drive, they put Lassiter on Burden, and he had two catches the rest of the game. They didn't let him get out of that. So. We'll see, but not calling that, but this could be very well the game where you go, we got a guy that can play, and we're just going to say, listen, that's your dude. You're in front of that guy, and you got to make a play. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, definitely be interesting to see that one. And look, I said I think this one comes down to what the defense does maybe a little bit more, and I do agree with that. Carson Beck, though, cannot throw three picks against Ole Miss because you cannot afford to give this offense extra possessions.
Not possessions. Possessions.
No. Yeah, not extra possessions. So it's going to be an interesting week is what I would say. I think that it is going
something
to be.
Something else we're going to talk about is Trevor Etienne. Like,
sure.
He didn't come back in the game yesterday. I didn't, you know, my initial feeling, it didn't look. And nobody wants to hear Kirby Smart say day to day tomorrow. You know. What?
Assuming that is the case, let's just play pretend here, hypotheticals for a second. Assuming you don't have that guy, is it a Dwight Phillips? Is it a Chauncey Bowens? Do we see maybe some Dylan Bell coming out of the backfield?
Guarantee I would put I would have to have Dylan Bell in there for eight plays.
Yep.
I'm telling you, I know he loves wide receiver, and he they got to have him at wide receiver. But I'm telling you right now, I've done it long enough to know. You want to talk about a fluid – see it running back at 210 pounds, Dylan Bell. And I'm telling you, when NFL teams go to Dylan Bell, they're going to tell him, listen,
yes,
you're going to play some running back and wide receiver in our offense. And he's going to go, yeah, I'm good with that because, you know, is he Deebo Samuel? He's very well could be close.
Yeah.
Because he's a bigger body type dude, but man, he is so smooth at running back. I tell you what kind of
– He was recruited by several teams as a running back. Michigan primarily wanted him.
He wants to play wide receiver.
Right.
And that was – my understanding, that was part of the – you know, there were those rumors about him leaving last year. And, you know, I think that Georgia, you know, assured him, hey, if you're going – we want you at wide receiver. But it might be one of those like, Dylan – we'll need about 10 out of you this week, my man. And I don't think he would. I don't think he'd have a problem with that. You know what I mean? You give him 5 or 6 carries, you know, and get him in the backfield where you guarantee to get him 1-on-1. Who knows? But Dwight Phillips, now that you've seen him in there, you could sneak some plays in with him there. Cass Jones he's got to. They've got to get his more. If ETN's not there, they got to get Cass Jones more involved.
I'm with you. Yep. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I think that Dwight Phillips thing. I said this on the board today. This will be some useful eye candy down the road. You give that look next time that kid walks out there. Everybody's going to have to know where he is because of the burst, the explosiveness. So regardless if it's in a decoy, you got to know where Dwight Phillips is next time he steps out there.
I'll say this, God, don't let me in positive. Georgia 7-1. Y'all don't kill me in the comments, man. Georgia's 7-1. They've won so many games and they've done so much stuff. They just find freaking ways to win, which is crazy. But enjoy it, man. I know everybody wants it cleaner. That team wants it cleaner. Carson Beck wants it cleaner. Kirby Smart wants it cleaner. But man, all those people that rode home from Jacksonville today, it could have been a lot longer ride. I can assure you, I've made that trip a lot more times with a loss than I have with a win. And I'm telling you, you take that win, you move to the next one and try to figure it out, man. But say it again, like I did the week before Texas, Georgia can win the national championship and nothing has changed my mind, but they got to get better. And they got no time to wait. It's got to start this week.
Absolutely. No question about it. Guys, we'll have you covered on all of it at Dogs HQ. I can assure you that from every single possible angle, injuries, Carson Beck, recruiting is still going on. We haven't even talked about that tonight. It's still happening. It's been a barrage here, Rusty. And for the next month, it's not going to slow down at all. We've got exactly 4 weekends until signing day. So
whatever it is it National Financial Aid Agreement Day or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a good omen. We're watching this right now. Matt Stafford just delivered an unbelievable bomb walk off to win it in overtime. That's the omen we need right there. Matt Stafford started a week off right with just like Alabama. He just gave a walk off one play in overtime. Rams win, and see, that's going to get Carson Beck going this week right there. Matt Stafford had to reach into the bag, man. Matt Stafford did it for the Dogs. Hell of a throw.
Oh, guys, get over to Dogs HQ. Get tuned in this week. Big game for the Dogs. We'll have you covered on every single angle as we do every single week. Get back over here, too, for Dogs HQ Plus. That's going to be Tuesday and Thursday again. You guys going to do 2 more of this shit this week?
Oh, yeah, we're splitting it. We're splitting that. I think everybody liked that. Be honest with you, man, if you're not a member of Dogs HQ, that's okay. We're glad you're here. Thank you for being here. If you're a member of just Dogs HQ Plus, that's great too. And thank you. I say this, give us 2 months, go sign up and go from November the 3rd until December 31st.
Yeah.
Give us 2 months and let us earn that subscription from you. And it's going to start tomorrow morning. I'll leave it at that.
There you go. Rock and roll. Ominous words from the boss himself. Guys, we will be back with you here all over the channel this week and over at Dogs HQ. Get over there, hang out with us. We appreciate you guys tuning in this evening. Have a great evening, and we'll catch you soon.